Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. It's on page 950 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it. This is the word of God in our scripture this morning. It's on the topic of worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Maybe you've heard the phrase before, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. It's a phrase that often gets tossed around in my Northern Irish culture back home. But when it comes to things in life that we worry about, being heavenly minded might actually just do you some good. Everyone worries about something. Here in this chapter, and for the people in Jesus' day, food and clothing are perhaps the two things that you're going to worry about most. You know, for the simple reason of food, Israel's a dry climate, you've got to rely on the weather. If there's a drought or a flood or something happens, well, food's going to be a bit of a problem. You know, no man controls the weather, only God does. You know, in the ancient world, you don't have Target or Walmart down the street. What about clothes? Well, clothes are an essential item to live. They aren't cheap, and the average person only has one set at this sort of time. You know, so if your cloak gets stolen, or it's lost, or it's taken, it's kind of a big deal. Think of it maybe like in today's society, losing your car. Now, having no clothes and no food, for most people in the West, isn't really a big problem. In fact, most of the time our problem might be having too much of those things. We often don't have problems with not having enough food, but hunger, for the vast majority of the world, and even here actually in the city of Philadelphia, where 20% of families are dependent on food stamps, food is, well, a problem. You know, when it comes to clothes, a lot of us are often worried about how we look, what things are in and what things are out. So in some ways we do worry about clothes. The average person in the USA red spends about $1,700 a year on clothes. We often think we need to look good, or we worry about what others will think. So food and clothes are basic things in life to those living in Jesus' day, the people who he's speaking to. And those things still matter today. People still worry about them. And that's what Jesus starts to address here. But the application can go a bit further. You know, life is full of things to worry about. And they're different for every person. One actor once remarked, when I don't have anything to worry about, I worry about that. Everyone worries about something. But what is the answer to anxiety? Is there a cure? Can I live without worry? Or what do I do when worry happens? Jesus ends this section by saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The kingdom of God is the answer to anxiety. And the kingdom of God has three aspects that I think Jesus brings out that are useful for us today to think about when we experience worry. It's a kingdom that's now. God's presence and rule is now. The kingdom is not yet. God's rule and reign will come in a greater way. And it's a kingdom that has a king who is benevolent and looks and sees the world and knows the people within it. So the kingdom that's now, you know, like we said, life is full of anxiety. You could probably even start to think of anxieties that you have right now. But what we worry about is actually not to control us. For the simple reason that all things right now are under the sovereign control of God. Worries and anxiety at its core is all about trust. And have you ever thought about worry in that way? We worry because we do not trust that we'll get what we desire, that we'll be looked after. Often that's easier to believe because we think that God doesn't really care to really give us what we want, or that God really can't give us what we desire, what we worry about. And Jesus doesn't let those two ideas stand in this passage. God is in control. He can give us what we need. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The Lord has power, control, and authority over the earth to give. He feeds the birds of the air. He clothes the lilies of the field. Nature is in God's hands, and in his hands it's cared for. There's a divine simplicity when you look out at the world. Flowers don't tell you when you're walking past, clothe me in a different colour. They just go about their business and they are. The Lord provides for them. They don't worry. They just go about doing what they're ordained by God to do. When you think about your worry, how much of your worry is concerned with what ifs? Rather than a simple trust that if you go about doing what you should be doing, your needs will be met. There's a simplicity to the idea of trust. And there's often a very staunch complexity to the idea of worry. Which of you being anxious can add a single cubit to his stature, or as the ESV translates it, a single hour to the span of his life? You know, the Lord's control extends to your life. It isn't just in nature, it extends to the person. Your time on earth isn't a surprise to God. He doesn't sit on his cosmic throne saying, I didn't see that coming. Being anxious doesn't add things to your life. The deep irony of anxiety is that it only steals things, like your time, your thoughts, and your affections. Anxiety, at its core, is a thief. It steals your trust. It steals your energy. The Lord God is in control of the now, and only he can give you what your worry ultimately can't. God also cares and will give to those in his kingdom. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Well, yes, you are. No animal was created in God's image. No animal was handcrafted and breathed into. Man holds a special place in creation as image bearers of God. If God cares for the rest of creation, how much more shall he care for those who bear his image? In the kingdom light, he is your heavenly Father. Jesus says in another part of the Gospels, what father among you, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? A father knows what his children need, and he gives to them accordingly. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God cares and God gives. His kingdom and rule is now. So to the point where Paul can say in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The Father knows before you ask him. The Father knows what you need. We can ask and trust that he knows what we need and actually has the power to give it. We read the story of Solomon where he has a dilemma and he asks of God and God gives. He actually gives more than Solomon actually asked for. He gives us what we need, but ultimately not what we might think that we desire. Why pray if God knows? Because in prayer we're brought closer into relationship with the giver of all things. We start to see clear why things may be as they are. We might gain strength through facing trouble that gives us anxiety. But that coming to the Father who's in control of all things, our fears and our worries are directed towards him and he can bear their weight. And in doing so, he frees us from them. The kingdom of God is now, his rule is now, and he has the power to give now. The kingdom is also not yet. God's reign and rule is coming in a much greater way. So often our worries can take over our lives. I know people with this exact problem. When they worry, it sort of takes center stage in their mind, so much so that they have trouble concentrating on anything else. Worry can often make us lose perspective. Can't really see beyond it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Well, that's a rhetorical question that really answers itself. It speaks to a transcendent truth in our souls. We know that our life is more than the material things that we put into it. Even the starving man wants to live for something beyond the next meal. Even a greedy man wants something more than the next buffet. Having food for the day is just a temporal need. It brings no lasting comfort because we all get hungry again. Our body is more than clothes. You know, even a supermodel wants to be thought of as a person. Even looks are temporal. They fade over time. Madonna might dress like she's 20, but no one believes it. Ecclesiastes 3, he has made everything beautiful in its time, but also he has put eternity into man's heart. Food and clothes don't grant salvation. They don't provide what our souls require. They don't prolong life or combat age. Ultimately, material worries don't last because this world, as it is now, won't last. In Romans, Paul says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For those part of God's kingdom, our worries are guided by a not yet reality. That there is a time coming when the fullness of God's kingdom will come. A restoration of the world, a restoration of the body. A freedom from temporal needs that center around God as the provider with his people. Where he will wipe away all tears from every eye, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That is the hope that the author of Hebrews sets our eyes upon. The goal, as we struggle in this life, is the goal of God's kingdom coming in its fullness. The kingdom that is not yet. Jesus ends this whole section, like I said, by saying that really the antidote for anxiety is to enter into this kingdom, to seek this kingdom. The kingdom that is now, the kingdom that is not yet. But how do you enter? You bring yourself under the rule and reign of the one who is king over that kingdom. A first submission that continues daily, and a daily submission to that king. The kingdom has a king, and it's the one who speaks here. It is Jesus. He is showing what it means in the world to have anxiety, but to direct that in a way that is godly. He is fully trusted in the Father to provide for his every need. He has faced all manner of hardship. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness, he fasted for 40 days, goaded by Satan. Turn these stones into bread, Son of Man. He could have done it. Yet his response is one of trust. Trust in God to meet his needs, even those that are temporal. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Surrounded by crowds, wanting more and more of his time. Disciples who never seem to really understand him. Pharisees and scribes that are trying to catch him out. No place to lay his head. Betrayed and beaten. Spat at and mocked. The clothes are stripped from his own back. If a man deserved to be clothed in dignity, it was Christ. Yet he was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He's shown how to trust in God in full humanity in a kingdom that is now. Even when it appears broken, even when it appears hopeless, even when it appears like we should not trust in God, he has gone through the kingdom that is now in perfect obedience without worry. He's walked a path with more opportunity to worry than any of us may ever hope to face in a lifetime. Hebrews 4 says it. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus has not only been present in this world, suffered and died in it, but he has also been raised to new life. He is the firstborn of the new creation. His new body is our assurance that anxiety and worry will banish. Because he, in his humanity, has entered into the kingdom that is not yet. A kingdom that is not of this world. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. All authority on heaven and earth has been given to him. He eats and drinks at the Father's table, food in abundance. He is clothed in royal priestly robes, clothed in finer garments than we can imagine. Of his power and dominion there is no end. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He has entered the not yet, and he has promised to all those who trust in him that they have died with him, that they have been raised with him, so that they might reign with him in his kingdom glory. Not only that, but he's given us a helper in the Holy Spirit, a spirit not of fear but of power, a guarantee of the kingdom we will inherit with Christ. Where is the need to worry when the worries of this world will pass away? Will you lay hold to those promises in Christ, the kingdom's king? Every day we're called to bring ourselves under that lordship with every thought and every deed, with every time we experience anxiety. Our imperative is to seek first the kingdom, to remember that kingdom, to continue to put ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ, to take every thought captive for Christ, that we might be transformed by the renewing of our minds in our worries. Our worries disappear, or they start to fade, when we realize that God's kingdom is now. He's shown us how to trust in his person and has provided our every need for today. Our worries start to disappear and fade when we realize the kingdom is not yet. Jesus has shown us the glory that awaits, and he has entered into it and has promised he will bring his people into it as well. Our worries disappear when we focus on that king who has passed through the now and entered into the not yet. He is the pioneer, as Hebrews talks about. A king that we can know as Lord and grow in trust off and in every day and all days. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are king over all things, Lord, that you give us everything we need daily. Lord, you give materially. Lord, we thank you that your kingdom is one that is not yet. Lord, that we look forward to a day when we experience your rule and your reign in a new and better way. Lord, we seek that goal in faith, looking towards that person who is the King of all things, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that he is not unable to sympathize with us, that he is our King who knows us and knows what it means to struggle in this world. Lord, we thank you for that blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.